From a psychological point of view, there are two types of people, says Amway President Rich DeVos. Those who believe they are victims of circumstances, and those who believe they control circumstances. The controllers make things happen by deciding what it is they want to do and then channeling every effort in that direction. The key, says Rich, is to do it now.
As we look around the world of Amway today and see what's happening, there's some of you who are in this room tonight who are sitting there with your fingers crossed, and you're really not too sure that you want to be a part of this thing, and you really don't know how you got here in the first place, except somebody kind of dragged you in. How'd I ever end up in a soap seller's convention? Well, we understand all of that. But you know, while you and I sit here, and you got neighbors who are saying, oh, this thing will never get off the ground, it'll never last, and you'll never make it, all these things are happening throughout the world of Amway. While we sit here this evening, of course, and the sun is going down here, it's still bright and sunny out across the country, and people are out working and selling Amway all across the United States, and they're just beginning to get rolling out in Honolulu. I was in Honolulu a few months ago. We had over 1,200 people show up for a meeting in Honolulu. From Honolulu, when we work west, you know, there's distributors on the island of Guam, which is 7,000 miles west of San Francisco. And some of you think it's tough to get products? You got to wait a few days for them. That guy out there used to wait 6 weeks for them when he could get a ship going in that direction, and we'd ship it off San Francisco. Guam is an island about 60 or 40 miles long, I think, and 15 miles wide. And last time I was in there, we had about 60 people come to the meeting. Interesting what happens where people decide to make things happen. There's two concepts in life that I deal with and that you deal with. And the more I watch people operate, the more I find great numbers of them who always operate in the atmosphere that they are the victim of circumstances. My subject that I want to get across to you in the next few minutes has to do with that you must learn to make decisions so that you do something today. The reason I emphasize that point is because I find so many people are always waiting for the right time for things to happen. And lacking not only the perspective of timing, they always sometimes think that they have to wait for circumstances to determine what they're going to do. Now, a lot of you have been brought up in that atmosphere. Others of you understand that you and I were given the power to control the circumstances. Some of you don't believe that. And that's why you're always waiting for something to happen. You don't wait for something to happen, you make something happen. And when you make something happen, you change the condition. I go over this with my kids a good bit, you know, and they say, well, I don't feel like it. I say, I don't care how you feel. Well, I don't feel like it. It's unimportant how you feel. See, you decide what you're going to do, and you'll feel in accordance to how you decided to do. Every once in a while, well, I get up and I don't feel good. They say, what's that got to do with it? I don't care how you got up and how you felt. If you've decided what you're going to do, you'll change the way you feel. You believe that? See, I believe that. But I also know that most people, and probably many of you, if you've never been in this business or haven't thought about that a great deal, are always waiting for those things, whatever they are, to get in place. And for those kind of people, you know what? They never get in place. Because conditions are never right. Conditions are never perfect for getting on with something. Some of you in this room right now, the fact of the matter is you say, well, I'm too young. Well, you'll never be any younger. That's for sure. See? You say, well, if I was only a little older and had a little more experience, I'd be able to do it better. But when you get a little older and a little more experience, you say, well, I'm too old. At one of our recent direct distributor seminars, we had a new direct distributor there. She was 80. She didn't think she was too old at all. Now, what she could have done is, well, I'm going to wait till conditions are right, and then I'm going to get on with it. But she didn't have much time to play with anymore. And while some of you laugh about that, some of you don't have much time to play with anymore either. I don't care if you're young. You are so programmed towards waiting for conditions to get right that you've got yourself in a habit of constantly postponing the action point, waiting for conditions to change. I have two basic concepts on decision making. One of those is that a decision making process is not a major thing, but rather a series of doing something positive every day, moving you toward your goal. Now that's different than saying, I'm going to be a double diamond, I'm going to be this. You don't have to say that. Just say, tomorrow I am going to see one person and tell them about Amway. Now the importance of that is that without worrying about all the rest of it, that is something that's within the capability of every person here. And if you don't get around to doing it, the reason will be is that you haven't learned the disciplines of controlling the circumstance. See? In other words, you're going to wait till you go, well, I don't feel like it today. See? And you're right back in the same old pile. See? Well, I'll do it today if... And then Nellie comes and she sits and drinks coffee and you gab a while and then the kids get around and, oh, I didn't get through it. You should have said, hey, Nellie, I don't have any time to sit around and gas with you today, Nellie. I'm going to go out and make a call today. Want to come along or sit here? See? I get my wife, she gets on the phone sometimes. See? And I say, what'd you do? Oh, I talked on the phone all day. So why don't you say, shut up, I'm going to go do something. I said, because what happens is you allow all those people who call you to control your time after a while. See? In other words, you've let the conditions, the events of the day, take charge of your scheduling. Instead of you taking charge of your scheduling. If I ran like that, I'd never get anything done anymore. Now, my day, I used to, break it into hours. I break it into 5-minute segments now. Say, somebody come in, I've got 5 minutes, run them in. But if I think I'm going to have a little problem getting rid of them, I don't let them in. I say, I'll come out and greet them, because then I can walk away at my pleasure. He insists on, well, nice day today, isn't it? Where did you get that picture on your wall? And he goes, well, my 5 minutes is up, and all we've been doing is, small talk about the conditions that are going on around about us. So if you get over there sometime and say, I'd like to see him, and I come out to see you, you'll understand. Timing. And relying on your ability to control the situation allows you to move forward. Now, do you have the ability to make that decision or don't you? Some of you sit and say, well, I'd like to do that. Okay, Rich, I'll take you up on that. I'll make a call on somebody tomorrow. But the day will slide away from you and then you won't know where to go. There isn't a person in this room right now that doesn't have a list of people that you've been meaning to get to. We were in the Nutrilite business for 10 years before we started the Amway thing. We operated a distributorship just like you. One day a gal came to the meeting and she was madder than all hops. It was an evening meeting. And she saw somebody at the meeting that she knew. She says, what's he doing here? I said, well, what do you mean he's doing here? So-and-so brought him here. Well, he's my prospect. I said, what do you mean he's my prospect? Well, I had his name in my book and he's going to be in my group. Well, he says, you're a little late, baby. He said, but I had his name in my book for months. I said, I don't give a hoot. There was a person who kept talking about what she was going to do, but didn't have the ability to discipline herself to make herself do it. Some of you have got that going right now. Now, along with going to do something tomorrow, since now is the time to make things happen, then tomorrow I want you to make that contact, get on the phone with that loudmouth brother-in-law of yours who's been bad-mouthing you about Amway but doesn't know anything about it. Because I want to see something change in your life for you. I want you to call him up tomorrow and say, Harry, I'm coming over tomorrow night. Or in this case, we'll play roll this. I'll come coming over tonight to see you at 8 o'clock. He said, what about? He said, I'm going to come over and tell you about Amway. He says, well, I don't want to hear about it. I don't give a hoot. You've been bad-mouthing. I'm going to come over and tell you about it, and you better be there. He says, well, I'm not interested. I said, I didn't ask you to be interested, but I'm sick and tired of what you've been saying. I'm going to come over, and you sit in the chair, and I'm going to tell you. And when I get all through, if you don't want anything to do with it, that's okay. I'll never bring it up again. But for once, I'm going to tell it to you straight, and you're going to know where I stand. Now, I really don't care whether you get hairy or not. But boy, will it do something for you. See? Now, why does it do something for you? Because if your habit pattern is one of constantly waiting for the condition to be right, you will suddenly develop the concept of taking charge of the situation and causing the condition to work in your favor. And things will begin to happen for you. And I could tell you of, you know, lots of circumstances in my life where I watched this happen, and the inner strength that develops when for the first time you stand up to, it's like going out to your boss one day and you stick his finger right up his nose and say, I'm not going to take any more of that guff from you. You're going to treat me like a human being, or I'm not going to work for you anymore. And you know what? Something will happen to you and between him and you, and he'll have no respect for you. Now, you don't, you know, I overplay that role a little bit. But a lot of times when you've got a strong feeling, you just suppress it, huh? And that's where your decision-making begins to erode because you keep, well, I don't know, what would somebody say if I told them what I really felt? And pretty soon, you suppress your power to control the condition and really impact your own life for good and make things happen. And I have to say to you, I think almost 90% of the people in the world do that. Now, I trace my lifeline a little bit in the ability to make decisions back to my high school days. I went to a parochial school, a Christian school, but, you know, tuition type. But I got through, and that was 10th, 11th, and 12th grades. Went through the 10th grade, and I didn't do so good. I took Latin, and I passed Latin on the condition I'd never take Latin again. I kept my word. I never took Latin again. But that's how I was soaring through the classes at those times. And my dad just said, hey, I'm not going to keep pumping money into you to send you to a private school if you're not even going to study. You can go to the public school, maybe we can teach you a trade. So they sent me off to the vocational high school and tried to make an electrician out of me. And I learned how to twist wires and do some of that, and I'm glad I know that to this day. But I attended there for a year, but at the end of that year, I decided I wanted to go back to Christian high school. And I enrolled in Christian high school in the fall. And the simple thing that occurred when I made the enrollment was that my dad said to me, you're supposed to enroll in school today at the public school. I said, well, I enrolled yesterday. He said, you couldn't have enrolled yesterday. I said, I did enroll yesterday because I'm going to this school again. And he said, who do you think's going to pay the bill? I said, I am. And those days I peddled papers and I worked in a gas station on Saturday. And I figured out I could cut it. Well, he says, look, if you're serious about it, I'd be glad to help you with it. But he said, you know, you better get on with doing something about it. The key on decision-making in this one is that I made the decision as to what I wanted to do, and then I made the follow-up decision. That's the only thing that makes decisions valid, which was to pay the price to make the decision a reality. See? That's like some of you have always said, boy, I'd like to have a new car. And you keep telling yourself you'd like to have a new car. Some of you keep telling yourself, someday I'd like to have a business of my own. See, but that's all mouth. Just mouth. It doesn't become a mouth until you put your feet in motion to pay the price to make the decision you made a reality. And the key thing here is that the patterns you establish from early days get on to where you always keep talking about your dream but never follow up your dream with a real decision to do what you have to do to make it happen. And that's why I say to you, do what you were going to do tomorrow, because it will never be better than it is tomorrow. Because if you don't do it tomorrow, tomorrow is forever gone. Never, never, never to be reclaimed. And even though a condition or the attitude of the person you're talking to might be a little more favorable the next day, by the next day you'll be doing it and telling it to somebody else, and you would have lost that day forever. And some of you have developed the tremendous art of procrastination, which is the ability to put it off. That's an old Southern one, you know, which they call mañana. And if you will look around the world, you will find the world filled with people who have the mañana philosophy. They're all, I'll get around to that tomorrow. I'll get around to that tomorrow. Okay. Now, I discipline myself primarily, as I hope some of you do, by your book. That's your time controller. Now, when I work my year out, which 76 or 75 is pretty well gone, 76 is partially plotted out at this time, I first of all write in here, I plot in my kids' birthdays and special events from a family standpoint. I just put that in first. That's a control point. Because I've decided I'm going to take that time for those important functions. In other words, I'm going to take control of my calendar and of my time situation. But what do most of us do? We kind of wait and see what it gets here. So, well, I don't know what I'm going to do today. And you go, yeah, maybe I'll do this and maybe I'll do that. But you've lost control of the situation because you weren't decisive in deciding what you wanted to do and doing it now. I try to keep my Saturdays open. Now, I am full-time in this business. Now, some of you are not full-time, so Saturday becomes your prime day. But if Saturday's your prime day, you better look down there and see whether it's a full day. Do you have it booked up or don't you? Or are you waiting to see if something comes along for Saturday? You can't build a business by waiting to see what comes along for Saturday. You've got to know now where you're going to go on Saturday and when you're going to go. Now, those are simple things, but are those big decisions? No, they're little decisions. They're a little decision to make a call to that guy you've been putting off but never got around to. This week we had some big things happening at Amway, you know, a lot of events going on. And I was talking to Jay, and he says, you call so-and-so, and you call so-and-so, and I'll take care of so-and-so. And I was in White Plains, I guess, New York. And so I said to myself, now, I'll do that after the next break, because I'm running an afternoon seminar for the dregs. And I just stopped. He says, right now I do it. He goes, the call I really kind of wanted to put off. You have any calls like that? Well, I don't feel right now about it. But I said, there is only right now. See? So I just turned right around, went right back in the room, grabbed the phone and did it. Nobody was here. No, I dialed a number the first time, you know, and it was wrong number. And it was, and then I dialed another number and I got the wrong place. But, you know, in an instant, I found myself doing what so many of us do all the time, putting off for a little better moment, something we've got to do now. Now is one of the most exciting times to be in the world of Amway. One of the most challenging times. We've got a business that's growing. People are coming in the organization. You've got a whole new surge happening for you. See? And yet some of you are still finding it hard to get down to decisions. Two things on decision. One, make all of your decisions a series of small steps. But do something positive to move you forward daily. Make one product presentation every day or call on one customer every day or have a new distributor interview every day. Do something every day. Schedule your time carefully for the time you've blocked in for your Amway work. Put it right down on the board. And if you're going to work this business, you got meetings Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, then you got that space open and you don't allow friends, relatives, and social engagements to come in. But here again, you let it get out of control. You plan on going out to make calls, but if Uncle Harry comes over, oh, Harry, nice to see you. And you sit down, you have a beer, and there it is. See? And that's the night you're going to go out and do something. But now you don't run your life. Harry runs your life. In fact, anybody runs your life who happens to walk in. See? But if you do that to my house, I get accused of being impatient. I say, I'm sorry, I'm leaving now. He said, well, I came to see you. I said, I didn't invite you right now. That's true. See? People call on the phone and say, I want to talk to you. I said, I didn't invite you to call. I said, give me the number and I'll call you when it's my convenience. See? But you do, gals and guys, you let the telephone run your life at their choice, not yours. You let your friends, neighbors, and relatives run your life, not yours. And you wonder why you never get around to doing what you talk about you're wanting to do. You haven't learned the art of the disciplines of forcing yourself to do what you've decided to do now. And the first person I want you to call tomorrow is the one you're most afraid of. Because once you call that person and do that one, all the rest will be easy. But you've got some guy you'd like to talk to, and you're a little bit afraid of him, and, well, I don't know what he'll say. Call that gal first. You know, it's Big Mouth Mary or somebody. Huh? And you say, what's she going to say? And right away you start to backtrack because you haven't learned the decisiveness of doing it now. And you say, well, I don't have enough knowledge. I'm going to go to that one more meeting. I'm going to go to that meeting in Buffalo, and after that, I'll be ready. You won't be much more ready tomorrow. You're probably just as ready tomorrow as you were yesterday. Only thing I can get you to do here is make up your mind to get on with it. And the people who arise to levels of success in this business and in life are the people who have that simple discipline. And personally, I find that the greatest difference between those who rise and those who fall, it's not that they're more brilliant. It's not that they have any better natural abilities. They have one simple ability, the ability to decide and do it now. I use this story a lot. Somebody says, I could never get up front and make a speech like that. And all in front of all those people. I said, don't worry. The way you're going, nobody will ever ask you to make a speech. But Mary Fitzpatrick, when we said to her today, you're going to come up front and I'm going to present that award to you and you're going to say something. She said, I'm not going to say anything. But Mary made a decision that she was going to say something. And when she got up here, she did say some things to you. Was that a major event for us? Oh, we didn't think much about it. But it was a major event for her because she said, I am going to do it. And she came up here and she did it. And that moves her to a... What happens to her end? She said, I did it! I hope that's what she said anyway. But inside was some of that elation that only comes when you do something you were reluctant to do in the first place. And then your whole power within you starts to come on, doesn't it? And you start to come out of yourself and you start to move out. And that's why a series of little successful experiences moves you to a new level of personal confidence. And each day you move forward because you took another step forward. Success breeds success more than anything else I know. One successful experience will lead you to another successful experience. And that will make you more confident for the next experience. And you'll be more successful because you begin to believe you can. Now, if you come from where most people come from, background-wise, where you've been brought up in the negative, the sour grape peddler aspect, you know, the groupie, oh, isn't it awful? Oh, if only we had more sunshine. If only it hadn't snowed, and all that stuff. That's where you come from. And if we can just turn you around and decide, and snow don't make any difference. Not if you decide where you want to go. Man, I tell you, life takes on a whole new glow. And it's fun. And it's exciting. I remember when we started Amway, you know, just like you start your business, we got the same guff you get. People say, oh, it'll never go. You'll never make it. What makes you think you can sell soap like that, you know? Well, that's 16 years ago. Just because we did. And we went out selling a little, and our first groups of distributors that we've been associated with it kept going. But when Jay and I went to our first Neutralite meeting, it was 25 years ago in the city of Chicago, we sat in a meeting like this, only much smaller. There were 200 people there. We were very impressed. We said, boy, that looks like something. They showed us a film on the company. On the way home in the car that day, driving from Chicago back to Grand Rapids, about 180 miles, we discussed the matter and we said, we're going to get in this thing and give it all we got and see what happens. The first thing we did when we got to Grand Rapids, we stopped for gas. And the first thing we did when we walked in there is we sold a Neutralite. We made up our mind and we began immediately to move toward that goal. To have waited a day or two while we thought about what we didn't know yet might have been fatal. But because we took a positive action immediately and moved in a positive form, he bought the product, our confidence level soared, and we were launched. And that's just how close some of those things come all the time. And some of you have been in this business a while, and you're teetering and tottering, and you say, well, there's something wrong with the business, and if I was only in a different group, and if we only didn't live in Buffalo, and if unemployment wasn't only as bad as it is, and if conditions were only different, I'd really be something. If I'd only got in the early days, I'd be where those guys are now. Baloney. You are where you are because of the actions you have or have not taken. And if you can learn this little simple art of making a decision and causing action to occur now, you and I will have had a wonderful experience this evening towards changing your life into one of discovering how really great you are and how much power you have within you that you've never dared let loose. And I can promise you life will become a bowl of cherries even when they say no, because you will know who you are. And you will know that you've got the power in your hand to make things happen. And once you have that, they'll never stop you.
Much of today's news about the worldwide economic situation is pretty bad. Rising inflation, rising unemployment, rising fears. But for Amway distributors, not all the news is bad. Now, for the good news, here's Amway Chairman of the Board, Jay Van Andel.
These are great days in which we live. Someone once said, the best of times and the worst of times. There are lots of crises. If there isn't a crisis handy, the newspapers or the television people will invent one for your evening news before 6 o'clock. I read a report the other day, one of the many, many reports that come to my desk, that said this. The Gallup poll's latest nationwide survey showed that 7 in 10 people believe that the economic situation in the United States would worsen in the next 6 months. Now, that's a pretty heavy dose of pessimism when almost 75% of the people surveyed think things are going to get worse. I also came across a little article in the National Observer that said unemployment is the most chilling word in any recession. It is now, as it has always been in all periods of economic slowdown, to the man struggling to support a family, the prospect, or even the possibility of losing his job and being unable to pay for food and shelter is a grim specter. Unemployment frightens people. It scares them. The very name, the very word scares them. And when they are afraid, they tend to react differently than when they're not afraid. Fear feeds on fear. The Wall Street Journal the other day had this to say. It says, newspapers and other news media are coming under increasing fire for reporting what's bad about the economy rather than stressing the good news, because there is lots of good news. It is interesting, of course, that when plants lay off, it goes in the headlines. When they rehire, it goes in the back page. Across my desk the other day came a bundle of 10 or 15 long 14-inch pages filled with typewritten material, each paragraph about a half inch, telling of all the plants in this area, just in the Midwestern area, that are expanding, that are adding on buildings, starting new companies, and so forth. It's a service that people put out for people that want to sell to plants that are expanding. And I thought, well, that's interesting. You don't hear any of that in the papers. If you read the papers, you think everyone's closing up. And here there are hundreds of plants expanding. And then I received this statistical analysis the other day, which I get once a week, which said that today, as opposed to a year ago in the United States, The population is now 212.8 million instead of 211.4. It's a 0.7% increase. The gross national product is now 1.416 instead of 1.309 a year ago. That's a nice increase, 8.2% increase. Consumer expenditures in billions of dollars are now $901 billion as opposed to $816 billion a year ago. Spendable income in terms of billions of dollars is now $993 billion instead of $914 billion a year ago. Employment in millions is today 85.2 million as compared to 85.7 million a year ago, just 500,000 less. Percent of unemployed is 7.1% as opposed to 4.8% a year ago, 2.2% difference. Now, that says that things are pretty good. It says that almost as many people are working now as were working a year ago when we weren't down in the mouth about recession. In fact, we were talking then about inflation and energy crises. It says that people have more money now than they had a year ago to spend, and they're spending it to some degree. I also receive an international survey which has a chart on it that talks about inflation. And it says inflation last year in Mexico was 40%, in Brazil was 24%, in Argentina was 20%, in Uruguay was 67%, in Chile was 637%. But in the United States, it was 11%, and I'll say only 11%. In comparison, pretty good, you see. All of which says that when we look at things rationally, things are pretty good. But when we look at things emotionally and allow the news media to play on our emotions, things are pretty bad. And 3/4 of the people in this country have allowed their emotions to take over and have gotten themselves into a state where they are filled with pessimism. Now, when people are working, but they hear about unemployment, they get frightened about the future of their jobs. When people are unemployed, in most cases, it's a temporary situation. In most cases, they have income. Sometimes their income is even as good as it was when they were employed, if not better. In Michigan, you know, the automobile people who are unemployed, if they have had a reasonable amount of seniority, receive 95% of their take-home pay as unemployment compensation compared to what they were receiving on straight time while they were working. And they only pay tax on part of that. Most of it is not taxable. So that's pretty good, you see. They're not without money. They're not destitute in the streets. But their mind is thinking differently. And as a result, when people think this way, they fear for the future. They tend to look favorably on adding to their income with another source of income, such as Amway. And they tend to hang on their money more tightly than ever before. Part of the problem, of course, is people are frightened and they're not buying consumer goods. Automobiles, they stop buying. It's a very easy thing to defer purchase of if you have a working automobile. If you have one that stopped working, of course, then you're in a different position. But most people's automobiles are working fairly well, so you can defer that purchase if you're frightened. You can defer the purchase of a new appliance that you don't really need if you're frightened. And people are doing just that. Now, what does this do for us? Well, it really brings to us the best of all worlds, a world in which 3/4 of the people are pessimistic about the future and frightened and therefore very receptive to the story of the world of Amway. And people have told me, who are actively recruiting today, that recruiting has never been easier in the history of our business. That you put an ad in the paper and the phone literally comes off the wall. And that's quite different from what it was a few years ago, where sometimes you'd put an ad in the paper and you didn't know you put it in because nothing happened. So the market is different, you see. In addition, of course, people are hanging on to their money. They've got it. Bankers tell me that savings actually are going up. People are saving money. They're holding on to it tightly, but they are spending it when they get a good reason to spend it. And that means that's an advantage for us because we know how to sell. And most of our competition in the selling business doesn't know how. The people in the supermarkets haven't any faint concept of how to sell. Or in most retail trade, all they do is just stand there and wait. You know? When nobody shows up, they close up and go bankrupt. We, on the other hand, can get out to the people where the people are. We don't wait for them to come to us. And we can talk to them about our products, which are superior to that which our competition is attempting to market. I won't say attempting to sell, because they can't sell. But we can sell. Now, we may have to sell a little harder. And therefore, we may have to talk a little differently about our products than we used to talk. We may have to talk more about the benefits that our products give to the potential buyer. In the classic example of depressions, which is the depression in this country of the 1930s, most direct selling companies took great strides forward. Many great direct selling companies that still exist today were born in the throes of the depression. And they moved ahead rapidly because they sold products, even then, to people who oftentimes had far little money, less money than they do today, because they knew how to sell benefits. There's a little old ditty that came out of the selling business way back then. It says, "Tell me quick and tell me true. Tell me now or nuts to you. Less how the product came to be, more what the product does for me." And when you tell people what the products do for them, they're willing to spend their money. And so we are able to do that. We can tell people face-to-face what our products do for them, and they'll spend their money with us. They'll never get down to the store because they weren't intending to spend any. So we have the best of all worlds. A huge potential for adding to the ranks of Amway distributors better than we've ever had in all of our history, with literally millions of people out there who are willing now to listen to your story about money, extra money. Extra money is a saleable commodity. Very few people turn you down when you talk about extra money. The very fear that has been created in their minds by our friends, the newspaper and television people, is driving them into our arms. And that's pretty good for your business. Plus the fact that they're staying home from the stores and saving their money and waiting for you to call on them to have them spend it with you, buy your products. And so, I think a good theme for Amway distributors right now, Amway distributors everywhere, and certainly a good theme for you as leaders in the Amway business is this. Now is the time to run while others walk. Now is the time to run while others walk. A lot of people are walking in this country, are going slowly, are frightened. They're not putting forth their best efforts. Business people oftentimes are not. People who are employed in one way or another or unemployed are not putting forth their best efforts. They're frightened and afraid of the future. 3/4 of them, according to the Gallup poll, are scared. And so while they all walk, if we run, if we put forth our best efforts now, we not only will pass them all by, but we will make more time now than we've ever made. When the rest of the world is running next to you, you can't get so far ahead. But when they're all walking and you run, man, can you outdistance the competition. And so, you have within your hands, as leaders right now, this almost unbelievable opportunity to build a huge business of your own in the future, in the very near future, if you will now run. Run flat out, just as fast as you can possibly run. Pull out all the stops. Do everything you can now. I sincerely believe that the crisis of depression will pass us by in the not too far distant future. We'll have some other crises. We may have another energy crisis or something that we haven't dreamed of yet. But the basic soundness of our country's system and of its economy is not going to let us fly apart into oblivion. It's going to turn around. Things will go the other way, and it won't be too long. We'll be talking of inflation again instead of depression and recession, and that'll change your marketplace and change people's thinking. But right now, while we're in the throes of this kind of thinking and the results that it brings, is a tremendous opportunity, and that's why I think the final important thing that we have to do is to act now. And I know from my experience and from Rich's experience and the some 30 years that we have been in business together that there have been times when we've had great opportunities to forge ahead, and there have been other times when it just wasn't quite that easy. And when you look back and see those times, you sometimes say to yourself, I wish we'd worked harder then, because hard work then got a lot more results than hard work later when things are not quite as receptive. Right now, hard work, running, will bring you greater results than you've ever had in the Amway business, very likely, and very likely greater results than what you will be able to produce for an equal amount of work for a long time in the future. These are great times, so let us run while others walk. Thank you. We'll see you around.
The preceding presentation and the media in which it is recorded are the copyrighted property of Amway Corporation, 1975, and may not be reproduced in whole or in part without the expressed written consent of Amway Corporation.